for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday afternoon, October the 23rd, 2002, 7th Annual Minister's Deliverance Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds. Dr. Bill Null of Salina, Kansas, is the teacher of the afternoon.
How many of y'all have been in a mass deliverance service? Okay. Is anybody here who's never been in a mass deliverance service? Okay. Praise you, Jesus. In a mass deliverance service, we teach first, and then break curses, and we call out spirits as God leads. First time I did a mass deliverance service, I always remember, I showed up down here one day, and Glenn was here, and Glenn said, "I don't know what we're going to do, Doc." I said, "Two speakers have had family emergencies and didn't show up." And in my naivety, I said, "Well, I'll do one for you, Glenn." I said, and so he gave me a mass deliverance service. And I studied, man. I got all these lists of demon groupings, of every demon grouping I could think of out of all. I spent laborious time copying all these spirits down. And I started talking, you know. And I got ready to start praying. And I got my demon list out, and the anointing just said, "Shh." And I said, "You know, something wrong here, people. Y'all have to stop. We're going to stop for a minute. I'm going to find out what's wrong." And God said to me, "Do you use a list when you pray for somebody?" I said, "No, Lord, I depend on you." He said, "Now, if you depend on me now, if you depend on me now, I won't leave you. But you're going to depend on somebody's list, you go ahead and do it your way." So we depend on the Holy Spirit to bring forth what He wants to come out. Like Chris's two root canal. I don't know why I'd ever said root canal before. One day I was binding, you know, and I said, I bind the spirit of stroke. And there's a man sitting right over there, you know, and he suddenly began waving his arm around, and he came up and said, looky. I said, "Well, that's nice." I said, "What is it?" He said, "I had a stroke 7 years ago," and he said, "And when you bound stroke," said, "man, my arm opened up." I said, "That's wonderful, man. That's wonderful." I mean, God does what God wants to do. And God, there is absolutely nothing God can't do. Amen. All He won't do is He won't do what you don't have faith enough to believe Him to do. And so believe God can do anything. And if He doesn't do it, you say, "Lord, show me what I need to, what's blocking you from moving forth that miracle in my life. What's blocking it, Lord God?" Now, it might be that there may be a number of things. Jerry gave some beautiful examples this morning. Jack Duran gave some beautiful examples this morning of things. I tell people, concentrate on themselves, because you're the only person you can work on changing. Now, you can pray for other persons, people to come to salvation. And God says that you are to go forth and to pray for other people. It is His will that you pray for other people to come to salvation. But when you're picking out the demon in your neighbor to cast it out, or that demon in your wife,
yeah.
You ought to look at yourself. Mm-hmm. And say, "God, get that thing out of me." You know, before I came down, I went down to my niece called me, one of my favorite nieces. I've got lots of favorite nieces, but one of my favorite nieces called me and asked me to come down and minister to a good friend of hers. And I said, "Honey, ain't nothing more I said, did your friend ask for me to come? And she said, no. I said, well, there's nothing more unappreciated than unasked for advice. So, Uncle Billy, did you just come down here and minister to her like you've been ministering to me for the last 5 years? And so you just come down here. And so I went down there. And I sat for 2 days and just sort of passed time and got to know this young lady and got to And so Saturday morning we were sitting out on the patio. And I was going to leave in about 3 hours or 4 hours. And we were just sitting out on the patio and it just finished raining. And I was sitting out there with this friend and she's by herself. And she said, what do you think? I said, what do I think about what, child? She said, what you came down here for? I said, well, what is that? You came down here to talk to me. I said, I did. I said, what do you want me? What are you asking me? She said, what do you think about? And she asked me about this young man that she was presently involved with. And I said, well, and what I think really doesn't matter. Can I show you what I see? And she's a good Baptist girl. She said, what do you mean? I said, what I see in the spirit. I said, I told you that I was an exorcist and that I cast out demons. And she said, yeah. I said, do you want to know what I see? Yeah. And so I started talking about her. And I told her about her childhood and things that had happened to her that God began to open to me. And I told her about things that had happened to her and things that she didn't share with anybody and what God wanted to do with that and how it affected her and how she'd spent the last 20 years going around picking up stray dogs and cats and rejected men and enable them to stay rejected and feel sorry for themselves until they abused her. And I told her how many times that she'd been abused and that she'd been in the hospital once. And she had tears running down her eyes. And she said, and then I said, now, what do you want about him? I said, you're going to get rid of him. He's going to do you the same way all these other men have done you. Matter of fact, he already has. And when you get rid of him, he's going to threaten suicide. And when he don't, if that don't work, then he's going to try to manipulate you. And if that don't work, he will probably kick the door down and threaten you. And you're going to have to get a restraining order to get rid of him. If that's the kind of mess you got yourself in, child. That man's dangerous to you. I said, and you asked me if I'd pray that your business would prosper. I said, God ain't going to prosper your business while you're in sin.
That's right. Amen.
She said, huh? Yeah. I said, he ain't going to prosper your business while you're fornicating. And she looked at me like she didn't know what that word meant. And so I did something I don't normally do. I used a four-letter word that the teenagers use. And, you know, you hear it on television all the time, but I can't say it. I said it then with great difficulty. And I said, now you know what fornicating means. She said, yeah. I said, you know, as long as you're sleeping with that boy, you're in sin, honey. Your problem is that your conscience has been so seared that it don't convict you of sin anymore. And you need to come out of sin if you want God to bless you. And you're going to have to come out of sin before you break out of this bad relationship you're in. And she said, what do I need to do? I said, you need to come to Blake Hamilton and get prayer. Think you can give me pray for me today? I said, honey, you didn't get in this mess overnight. You ain't going to get out of it overnight. I can break the bondages, but you're just going to take a period of time of being ministered to and learning where you are and what you need to do. And then learning not to react as you've always reacted in the past, so that when somebody hurts your feelings and you feel rejected, you run out and find somebody who needs you and will use you. I said, you know, you need to change. You need to let God change you. But it is not an easy process. Now, you all heard Brother Chris talk about it. About not reacting, but responding. And to get rid of demons and stay clean You've got to learn to change the way you respond to them. Where you respond to offenses. Now, Jesus said, in this life, you will have offenses. You will be offended. And how you respond to that offense. Now, and as Jerry said, you've got portals down there where you've been hurt. And the devil will craft that offense to touch one of your buttons. And you've got to stop and say, God. And if you respond to that, if you react to it, you have to stop right there and say, Lord, oh God, Lord, what is it in me that I respond to that offense? Heal me, Lord. Don't get not this other person over here, not my brother or my sister who is being used as a tool of the devil to touch my button. Bless them, Lord, bless them. But Lord, heal me so that I don't respond to it. I don't respond to that thing. Like I don't react with violence. I don't react with hurt. I don't react with withdrawal. I don't react with fear. I don't react by letting my pride swell up. Touch me. Touch me and heal me, Lord God. Oh Lord, if there be anything in me that's so offensive to you, show it to me. And don't react that way again. If you react that way again, you go back and say, Lord, help me again now. I can't do this without you, Lord God. And if you react, you go apologize. Say, I'm sorry. Forgive me. What can I do to make it right? But you say, I didn't do it. It ain't my fault. What'd Paul say? What did Jesus say? Paul said, hadn't you rather be robbed? Jesus said, if the man gives you that sock and says, take it a mile, you carry 2 miles for him. Your brother asked you for your coat, getting your cloak too. So here, I'm going to give you this too. So when that person comes and offends you, you say, Lord, help me. And to this brother who has offended you and attacked you, you say, what can I do? What can I do? I love you. Jesus loves you. I love you. Oh, God, help me with this. I can't love him without you, Lord. You're going to have to help me with it, Lord. I can't do it without you. And that's the way you keep the demon out. Or if he's in there, that's the way you get him out. Now, we're going to talk about master livers today. We're going to talk about some of the things. I don't know how I got started on this. But we're going to talk about mass deliverance. Demons are spirits. And they reside in your physical body. See, the scripture says that through the fall, through one man, death and sin entered into the world and entered into your body. Romans. Now, it's interesting to note that in Genesis, Cain and Abel offered a sacrifice. And God accepted Abel's sacrifice and Cain's sacrifice. He did not accept. And Cain's countenance fell. He got angry. And God spoke to him. And he said, why is your countenance fallen there, Cain? If you do what's right, if you offer an acceptable sacrifice, you'll be accepted. If you do what's right. But sin lies at the door, or crouches at the door. And its desire is for you. But you should rule over it. That word sin comes from the Akkadian root that means R-E-B-I something, or Rasmussen or something like that. They said about me in high school, I could torment one full word 10,000 ways. I asked my son, I said, I looked that up and looked up the references for it. Went back and got the original references. Then I asked my son, who is a Hebrew scholar. He's Hebrew and Greek and Latin. And I said, he has a PhD from Cambridge University in England. And he's a minister. And I said, is this right? He said, well, Dad, you know when I took you through the Natural Museum in England, the Museum of Natural History, and we went through the Assyrian section? I said, yeah, I remember that, yeah. Said, you remember those funny-looking things that had all funny-looking heads on them with wings on them? And they stood there, and they had that bucket in one hand and that looked like a pole with a cocklebur on the end or a pine cone on the other? I said, you mean like them gargoyles that guard the Masonic temple? He said, yeah, that's them. That's them. That's the Rasmussus. That is a demon entity that guards the building. It can be either a malevolent, mean, or it can be kind, well, I can't say the other word, but a kind spirit. Depending on whether or not you've made an adequate sacrifice to the demon god that controls him. And that is it's from that word that sin comes. The word sin that's used very commonly in the Old Testament, in Hebrew. And it is an entity that's lying at the door, waiting to crouch, to jump on you, to rule over you. And that dwells in your body. Came in through the fall, it dwells in your body. Paul says in Romans, don't let sin reign in your mortal body. And he says, if I want to do what's right, and I will to do, but yet I don't do what I should do, but I do what I shouldn't do, it's not me that do it, but sin dwelling in me. Now, there's some people who will tell you that Paul wrote that, he was referring to the time before he was unsaved. That's like the folks that say when demons were cast out of people in Acts, they said they were all unbelievers. I asked them what translation they're using, and I said, I don't see the word unbeliever in here anywhere. Said Paul carried aprons home, and they were placed on the sick, and the sick got well, and demons came out. Oh, those were unbelievers. I said, oh, really? Where? Where does it say? I said, what translation you got? I got King James, so do I, and I'm reading here, and it doesn't say unbelievers anywhere. Well, it just stands to reason. I said, whose reason? I said, the devil is a very reasonable, logical fellow. Do you know that? Yes. The devil is a very reasonable, logical fellow. And you get healed. And you go tell folks that God has miraculously healed you. And they say, oh, now, come on now. Let's be reasonable and logical about this thing. You know that sort of thing don't happen. And I've seen more folks get talked out of their healing. Yes. You know, Derek Prince and Oral Roberts did a study on how many people maintain their miracle after 1 year. People who had genuine, bona fide, documented, miraculous healings. How many of them do you think at the end of the year those people still had their healing? 25%. The devil had talked 75% of them out of it. They sent some reasonable, logical fella, or they sent them to the expert. And he sat there and talked them right out of their healing. Oh, you just got emotional. You got this and you got that. Oh, you got to continue. Don't you dare to go. Oh, no. I have to be very careful when I start talking about this. I have certain legal liabilities I have to be very careful of. People ask me if they should stop taking their medicine. And I say to them, you cannot ask me that. I have legal liability there. I cannot advise you to do that because I have a license to practice medicine. Yeah. It makes me legally liable if I give you that kind of advice. I don't give that type of advice. I send you over to Brother Chris Simpson. And Brother Chris will get you off of that medicine. Now, Brother Chris, very spiritual man, and he will take you off in stages. As you melt that ice cap that's built up through years of use. You know, my family friend, wife was, quote, bipolar. And she's Jezebel. Every time she got mad at her husband, she'd quit taking her medicine and she would get manic and go out and spend all his money. And he'd go grab her and put her in the hospital and get her back on the medicine. But she got all this debt. Every time she got mad at him, she fixed him. She just quit taking her medicine and she'd go get... And she had a perfect excuse to go out and spend all the money she wanted to. And he was just...
And he was just angry and mad all the time. And I told him, you know, and she asked me, we were in the car riding out to get supper, and she asked me, could she have demons? And before I could open my mouth, her husband says, you know, I'm a pastor, and I have fasted and prayed, and I command them out, there's demons, and they come out. Now, you ain't got demons.
And about that tone, I said, you know what I said?
Kept my mouth shut. And so finally, when things really came to a head, I asked him, I said, you realize, of course, that your wife has demons. Well, I'll tell you, white on rice, man, he was on my back, and he told me how she got better when this medicine, and it wasn't demons, because he was a pastor, and he had fasted, and he had prayed, and he had bound them, and if they'd been demons, because he was a pastor, and he had authority, and he was the husband, and he had authority, them demons would have come out. I said, you got the same demons in you. As long as you got demons in you, they ain't going to come out of her when you command them. Well, you know how well he received that? And so, then I apologized to him. I said, I'm sorry. I'm out of order. You didn't ask me. But what he said, well, she gets better on the medicine. I said, sure. Medicine will control the symptoms, but it will not affect the cure. And it takes increasing doses to suppress the demonic manifestations. And it just builds up more and more. I mean, mind-altering drugs will suppress demonic manifestations. But it doesn't cure them. And like all those drugs, it takes more and more and more and more and more. And then when you try to take them off, these people have bodies, but they start convulsing and have all kinds of problems. And they said, God doesn't treat side effects. And you can't cast side effects out of somebody. I don't know how I got into this. Lord Jesus, huh? Woo, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. So what do you have to do when you want to get rid of your demons? You know, what do you have to do when you want to get rid of demons? Well, people come down here and they say they want to get rid of their demons. I said, really? Why do you want to get rid of them demons? Why do you want to get rid of them? They your friends? Did your wife say she going to divorce you if you don't come down here and get help? And so you here, so you can tell her you was down there and got prayed for and it didn't work? There ain't nothing to it? I mean, is that what you're going to say? I mean, if that's reading you down here, I don't even waste my time praying for you. Because a lot of folks around here want to get free. So why do you want to get free? There are three scriptural reasons for wanting to get free. Isaiah 43 says that you were created by God to glorify Him. You were created to glorify God. Isaiah 43:7 says that. And you got to be honest about it. You know, I get folks come down here and they want to get rid of these demons over here, but they want to keep these. I ain't ready to get rid of these yet. I need these. I don't want to give up my smoking yet. I don't want to give up my fornicating or my lusting or my pornography or my masturbation. I'm not ready to give those up yet. I enjoy those. But I want to get rid of these things over here that's caused me problems with my wife. Or caused me problems at my job. My boss said if I don't get better, he's going to fire me. Amen. You got to be honest. And I'm going to tell you, deliverance is not a cafeteria where you can go down the line and say, I'll take that, 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 and that. Deliverance is what God wants to clean up your life so you can bear fruit to Him, so you can glorify Him. If you want it for any other reason, get down here for any other reason. You want to be down here because you want to glorify God. You want to be obedient to God. Now, in Luke 11:28, there were a bunch of folks. Jesus was walking through a bunch of crowd, and this woman called out to him. She said, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the paps that nursed you." And Jesus turned to her and said, "Yes, and more blessed are those who hear the word of God and do it." So if you're obedient to God, you're more blessed than his mother, according to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Now, you know that Jesus' mother and brothers and sisters all thought he'd gone crazy and he had a demon. Now, Mark there said they went down to take charge of him, to take him home. And he was in with a bunch of his disciples. And they said, "Your mother and brother and is outside. They want you. Your family's out there to get you. They come for you." And he looked around and he said, "Who is my mother? Who is my brothers, my sister?" He said, "These that do the will of God, of my mother, my brother, and my sister." Do the will of God. Praise your Lord Jesus. That's in Matthew 12:50. And then Matthew 7:21, it says, "Not everyone who says, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of God." They'll say, "But sir, hadn't we cast our demons in your name? Hadn't we prophesied in your name?" You say, "I never knew you. I never had intimate knowledge of you. You're one of those fellows sitting way over yonder someplace that don't know me that's using my name." You remember the disciples said, "We got these old boys over here casting our demons in your name." Jesus said, "Depart from me, you who do lawlessness. You that don't obey the word of God. For I never knew you." He said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in me. It says in 1 John. It says, if you love your brother, by this you will know you abide in the Father and the Father abides in you. If you keep my word, you'll know that you abide in me. And John 15:8 says, if you abide in me and I abide in you, ask whatever you will and be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. That you bear fruit.
Amen. That's right.
And you want to get delivered? There's only three reasons to get delivered. Glorify God, be obedient to God, bear fruit to God that his name might be glorified. Now, if you want those things in your life, God will touch you, and he will heal you, and he will cast out the demons in you, and he will give you the ability to stand. Deliverance is for desperate people, people who desperately want to change.
Amen.
James 4:4 says, adulterers, if you love the world, you're adulteresses and adulterers. That's what it says. If you love the world, you're an adulterer and an adulteress. What are you adultering? You're the betrothed bride of Christ. Jesus said, you're my bride. You love the world. You're committing spiritual adultery. And what comes on the curse of whoredom comes upon you when you commit spiritual adultery? The curse of whoredom. Wine, new wine, and whoredom enslave the heart. That word enslave there is the same word it said in the old King James says take away. It's the same word used when it said Enoch walked with God, but God took him. And whoredom and wine, new wine, will take part of your heart. And if you look up in Strong's Concordance, what does that word heart mean? It means your intellect, your will, your emotions, and your conscience. It'll take away part of it. It'll steal part of your soul. Steal part of your intellect. Steal part of your hearing so you can't hear. Demon will get in there and you will hear what I'm saying, but you will hear something else. You know, the old fellow said, "I know you heard what I said, but I don't think you understand what I mean." Praise you, Lord Jesus. And so the demons will steal it. If you in idolatry and you love the world, you won't keep your deliverance. The demons will come right back in. Now, it takes me an hour and a half to teach on the curse of whoredom. But I tell you, people, you don't want the curse of whoredom in your life. You read Hosea chapter 4. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And it ends by saying, people who have no understanding will be trampled. Proverbs says, knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You've got to know God. I did a series Labor Day on understanding God, the character of God. You want to be renewed in your mind? Study the character of God. Because that is the only scriptural way to renew your mind, is to study God's character and say, make me in this character, Lord Jesus. Touch me and let you move in my character, that I will be made over in your image. And it says, so the outer man, in Corinthians it says, though the outer man is perishing, the inner man is being renewed bit by bit. In the image of Him who created you, it says in Colossians. Renewed in the image of Him who created you. Well, praise God. Let's see. So what do you do? I've been talking that long?
Don't watch the clock.
Dear God. Well, Glenn, I'll be here till 5 o'clock at the rate I'm going.
Hallelujah.
You have to humble yourself before God. Now, that's an interesting word, to humble yourself. God says in James there, says, humble yourself under the hand of God, and He will lift you up. Says that in 1 Peter. Comes from Colossians, from Proverbs chapter 3, which says, God gives grace. The scornful He will. God scorns the scornful and gives grace to the humble. In Psalms it says that God gives grace to the humble, but the proud He knows from afar off. You want to be far away from God? Lift up your head and cry. A proud and haughty man, scorner is his name. Proverbs chapter 24. A scorner you can't tell anything to. He's deceived. He's proud, stiff-necked, rebellious, and you can't tell him anything he knows of. How many folks know folks like that? And they go around and they gossip. Just watch the evening news and you'll see a bunch of scorners reading the news to you, putting their spin on it. Want you to believe it their way. Now, there's several scriptural methods of fasting yourself. One is fasting. Now, you know, fasting means to go without food. And I tried and I looked. I said, Lord, I see in the dictionary it says that. But where in the Bible does it say that you're supposed to go hungry? And I found it in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. You know, if I can't find the Bible, I have a hard time teaching it.
Amen.
And so it says, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you, to test you, to know what was in your heart and whether or not you'd keep His commandments. So He humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every rhema word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Rhema word. That's what Jesus said when He answered the devil. Man does not live by every rhema word, by bread alone, but by every rhema word. That's a spoken word. You don't take the Bible and hit the devil in the head with it. You take out, let the Holy Spirit give you the word for that particular situation, and you speak it forth, and it will bring life into that situation. And so, you fast. Now, Jesus said that when I'm gone, the Pharisees fasted 2 days a week. They fasted on Tuesday and Thursday. And they generally covered themselves with ashes and spread their sackcloth out right in the main streets, you know, and poured ashes on their head and sat out there and looked terrible. And they say, oh, look at that holy man out there. Boy, he's fasting. Oh, look at that holy man. Oh, he's such a man of God. He's out there. He's denying himself for God. Jesus said, if you do that, you got your reward. Men have raised you up, that's your reward. But if you fast, anoint your face with oil. Go do your job. Keep your mouth shut about it.
God will reward you secretly. They fasted 2 days a week on Tuesday and Thursday. Those were the big days when everybody came to town. Sort of like it used to be on Saturday. Remember how it used to be? Everybody, well, some of you older people can remember how it was on Saturday when everybody came to town. Saturday was the big day. I mean, worked in the grocery store and we stayed open till midnight. They beat the plow at midnight. Y'all know what beat the plow means? Sure, nobody in here knows what it means to beat the plow. That's right. We had this big plow, you know, big plow shaft. Couldn't afford a bell, but had this big plow shaft, big piece of tempered steel, and it was hanging out there on a rope, and they take a hammer and beat it. Wham! And the thing would ring. You could hear it. They go out there and beat the plow. It means time to go home, boy. Time to go home. It's midnight. It's now Sunday morning. Ain't going to do no business on Sunday. They're going to close the store down. You got to leave. They beat the plow about 15 minutes before midnight. Midnight, we close the doors. You had 15 minutes to get your business done. Because beat the plow. It's time to go home. But it's now Sunday. Lord, Lord, work 5 cents a day. 7 in the morning until midnight. 5 cents a day. Thought I was finding money out in the street. Lord, I think hot times have changed. And so, there are lots of different places in the Bible it talks about fasting. In Isaiah chapter 8, it talks about when they were getting ready to go back to the... Ezra chapter 8. Ezra was getting ready to take all the gold, about $100 million worth today in today's worth. The gold at $400 an ounce is when I figured. It was about $100 million worth of gold. And they were getting ready to take it 1,500 miles through the land with bandits and bandinos and everything in it, you know. And Ezra had said, you know, I was ashamed to ask the king for some horsemen and soldiers to go with us, because we said our God would protect us. And they got out there and looked at the desert, and looked at the gold, and looked around all these women and children, and they said, oh, God, man, we done put our mouth where our money is. Lord, our money where our mouth is. You gotta protect us. So they fasted for 3 days. And then they started forth, and they arrived 6 months later in Jerusalem with all everything intact, having not lost a person. But they fasted 3 days before they left to seek God's way. God said, go ahead. You ought to have a regular regimen of fasting. The longest I've ever fasted is 44 days. My prayer partner was dying of cancer, and her husband and I, they were my prayer partners, my deliverance partners 20 years ago. And together we fasted for 40 days. 44 days. And she died. Have you all ever had that experience? I wept before God. And God told me to get up and anoint my face. Close the mourning and put on my clothes rejoicing because Sue had come into his presence. He called her home. Now, he never did give me a reason why. But we moved on. And sometimes, you know, God doesn't owe you an explanation. I sure wish he, you know, in a way, you know, at that time, I wanted an explanation. But, you know, he didn't owe you one. He just said to me, you'll get up, anoint your face with oil, wash your hair, take off your mourning clothes, and move out. Because she's in heaven with me. And that's what I did. The other is to become a servant. Jesus did this by washing his disciples' feet. And he said, if you do this, you'll be blessed. So you need to humble yourself before God. And you do that by becoming a servant, by denying your flesh. Your flesh likes to eat, people. By denying your flesh for God. Saying, God, save stomach, line up with the word of God. Another one, the hardest fast I've ever been on, was one when I shut my mouth and didn't talk for 2 weeks. I locked myself up in a trailer with my Bible and I didn't talk for 2 weeks. Except pray in tongues. I did pray in tongues. But I got God talked to me. God talked to me and I got revelation. And I was writing, and I wrote down my revelations, and I still marvel. But it was a difficult
2 weeks. To deny your flesh humbles you before God. And so you humble yourself. And then you repent of your sin. Now, you know, no prophet never had any message but to repent. We talked about generational curses. Curses have come down because of the sins of our ancestors. And they say, where in the Bible does it say that you should repent of the sins of your ancestors? Well, it says it right here in Leviticus. It says it right here, Leviticus chapter 26. Y'all open up your Bibles to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 26, verses 40, says, him, talking about the people of Israel. Israel, hi Israel. If you be the seed of Abraham, you be the seed of, if you belong to Jesus Christ, you be the seed of Abraham. That's what it says in Galatians. So I say to you, hi. How you doing, Hebrews? It says right here, but if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers and their unfaithfulness in which they were unfaithful to me and how they walked contrary to me. Yeah. Confess. All of the great prophets and intercessors always identified with the sin of the people and the sin of their ancestors. And you, so you confess your sin and confess the sin of your ancestors and place them under the blood of Jesus Christ that the curse might be broken on you and your children forever.
Amen.
According to Galatians 5:13, he says Jesus was made a curse for us that we might be delivered from the curse of the law. Now, there's certain religious denominations who will tell you that was automatic and that happened at salvation. And I said, really? Did you get saved without confessing your sin and accepting Jesus Christ into your life? No. Do you get healed, which is part of salvation, part of the atonement? Do you get healed without claiming the stripes of Jesus? No. You don't get delivered from curses either until you claim it and say, God, I break that curse in the name of Jesus, because Jesus was made, took that curse for me, and I, my family don't have to bear it no more.
Amen.
You got to tell the devil that you know. And you know, frequently, you have made certain promises in the past. Promise yourself. Said, if something else happens, I will do this. And the devil takes that as a covenant. And he says, I got a legal right to you because you made a covenant with me. And that demon says, I ain't coming out. I got a covenant right to be him. I'm married to this person. This is my body, my home. I'm married. I got a legal right here. Any of y'all ever had a demon say that to you? He just hide it. Most of the time they don't say anything. He just sit there and laugh at you. Because they got a coveted right. And you say, the blood of Jesus Christ has annulled your covenant, demon. This is a coveted child. This is a betrothed child of the coming bridegroom, Jesus Christ. Jesus' blood has annulled your covenant. Frequently, you'll have to have the person say, I repent of that. I repent of it. Now, you heard Jerry talk about it this morning. And the demon will try to get them to stop. And he'll affect their vocal cords so they can't say it. You ever had the demon? And people just, I say, exert your will over the demon. And they say, the demon. And then they break out this choking sound. Remind me of the time I was lying in bed once. I had just got through praying a deliverance session. Been a hard deliverance session. I went home and I was lying down in the bed, you know, and it was summertime and I had a little room air conditioner in my room, you know. And back when I was living in this little 8x10 room and opened a post section of town. And I went home, and I got in my little room, and I took off. I had my skivvies on, you know, and I covered up with a blanket, and I was lying there. And I looked up, and this big, black pair of hairy hands came through the door. I mean, it come and they were moving. I said, in the name, and about, that's about all I got out before they had me around the throat. Jesus, I bind you. And they turned loose and went down the line. Now, I thought I was dreaming, you know. And I looked over, and I remember that one of them had grabbed the cover and thrown it in, and I looked over, and the cover was over in the corner. And I got up, and I looked at my throat, and I had these red marks on my throat. That hurt. I put some cold water on and went back to bed. Next morning, I had these big bruises on my throat here. And so I went to work the next day. Dr. Noel's got a hickey on his neck. He said, what happened to you? I said, I look like hickeys. I said, no. And then I hear, what happened? I said, honey, you wouldn't believe me if I told you. I had to go home and put a turtleneck on off of the hair, you know, and wore it for a week. The little bruises went away. And I said, what's not going to wear that for? I said, he got hickeys on his neck. I didn't try. I just let God defend me. I just said, I am not about to get out until that. Just of rank unbelievers. But I tell you, I had difficulty getting the word Jesus out. Sometimes, but if you exert your will, you can overcome them. Okay. Where were we now? Woo! Well, repent is two of the... The word repent comes from two Greek words. From two words. The Hebrew word means to change your mind. And it's frequently translated, change your mind. It means to be convicted it is wrong. To come under conviction that that is a sin. The Greek word is a word of action, which means to turn and walk away from it. And so, repentance means to be convicted of your sin, turn around 90 degrees and walk away from it. Hmm? You got to repent of your sin. It means you got to turn around and walk away from it. If you think you can come down and get deliverance and then go home and walk in sin again, you won't be free very long. Now remember in Matthew 9 it says an unclean spirit leaves and walks around in dry places and gets no rest. And he said, I'm going to go back to my house. And he goes back to that house and finds it clean and garnished. And he says, you know, looks good. He takes seven more worse than himself men, so that state of the man is worse than it was before he started. And if you go home and you go back into sin, do you expect those demons to come back? I remember this young boy that has, oh gosh, this was 20 years ago now. We prayed for him and got him to forgive his father. And he came into his right mind. He really wasn't in his right mind. And we prayed for him and And after a couple of sessions, he did so well. But he was a talented musician. He got a full ride scholarship to a university down in Texas and was doing very well. He met a fine Christian young lady. And they prayed. And God said it was okay for them to live together because they couldn't afford to get married. I don't know what God he was talking to. The God of lust, I think. But I said, when did the voices come back? He said, after I slept with him. And I mean, I thought he was bad the first time I saw him. I couldn't get to first base playing for that kid the second time. And he was also on so much medication he could hardly walk. They had him all doped up with all this stuff, you know. And I never saw him again. I don't know what happened to him. But he didn't walk in freedom. He went back into the world. Praise you, Lord God. The last thing you got to do is you got to confess your hurts and your unforgiveness. Now, forgiveness means... To forgive means to give up the right to revenge or repayment. You look it up in Dictionary's Dictionary and you'll see that forgive means, the first one is to give up the right to revenge, to give up the right to get even, to give up the right to see them pay. And when you forgive a note, what do? If you owe me $10,000 and say, I forgive that debt, you don't pay it back. And what you're doing is you're saying, yes, you hurt me. But I don't want to see you have to pay a price for that. I'm going to give that to God. Now, if you want revenge, that's fine. It just makes you a thief. Because Scripture clearly says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and I shall repay. You want vengeance? You're a thief. I'm going to tell you, you don't want to steal from God. You don't want to steal from God. You don't want to steal your tithe money? God says you're a robber if you don't tithe. Now, a thief is somebody who sneaks in and takes it without your knowledge. A robber is somebody who confronts you in your face and takes it away from you. And God says you've robbed. You're not tithing, God says you've robbed him. You on making offerings, God says you've robbed him. The two robbers reported. Now, I won't go any further than that, but I say to you, you don't want to rob God. You don't want to rob God. I mean, there are too many blessings not to. But there's some terrible penalties involved if you do. And you can make all kind of logical excuses. I can't afford to. I can't make my house payment. I can't make my car payment. I can't pay my country club dues. I can't go to the Y. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't go to the ball games. Like the woman said then at the health department. This lady wanted said, you're not to the WIC department. Y'all know what WIC is? Women, infants, and children, you know, that 30% of the people in my home county get free formula from the government. You believe 30% of the folks can't afford to buy formula for their children? But they get free formula. And it's a supplemental program. It's not designed to meet the total nutritional needs of the baby. It's just a supplement. And I remember this woman got in the dietitian's space, and she said, y'all got to have more formula, baby. He needs more than this. She said, this is a supplemental probe not designed to meet the total. She said, well, I'm not going to spend my cigarette money on formula. And folks say, I ain't going to spend my cigarette money tithing. I need that. God, it's a terrible penalty. Well, praise God. I don't know how I got on tithing, but I threw that in, no extra charge.
No charge.
No charge on that. Tithe. Christians tithe.
Yeah.
If you don't tithe, you open yourself to the enemy.
That's right.
You just open you done walked out from under the wing. You know, you're standing out here. He says, rebel, woe to, let's read that. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 30. It says, woe, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, who take counsel, but not of me. Who devise a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. They walk down to Egypt, the world, but they've not asked my advice, to trust, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh. Pharaoh's the devil. And to trust in the shadow of the world. Therefore, the strength of the devil shall be your shame, and the trust of the shadow of the world shall be your humiliation. So if you walk out from under God's covering, and he says, devise a covering, and that word covering, that means a spider's web. Got all kind of holes in it. You stay on that wing, you know, there's no holes in that wing. But you just walk out from under that covering, you know, that thing sitting up there, got that long pole with the kookaburra on the end. He's up there just waiting for you. Oh, Lord, oh, God, I got wounded, oh. You back up on the wing, oh, God. You know, God will heal you. He's so gracious. He'll heal you. But why get wounded? Why walk out from under the covering? That's what happens when you don't tithe. You get wounded. Shame and humiliation. And there are lots of different ways that shame and humiliation can come into you. If you don't tithe, you're going to get shamed, humiliated. The devourer is going to consume your crop. The creditors are going to seize what you got. You're going to have a sack with a hole in the bottom. I mean, you know, I served that God greed a long time. I know about this. Man, I shoveled it in that sack. Boy, I shoveled, and the harder I shoveled, the bigger the hole got. Because nothing stayed in there. It just ran out.
I won't tell you how much money I wasted. God forgive me. Threw away all the blessings. And so you need to confess your hurts and your unforgiveness. Now, people have hurt you in the past. Anybody that's hurt you, you need to ask God to bless them. And how do you do it? Look at Matthew. Now, you want to be healed. You really want to be healed. So every time you meet that person, it doesn't hurt. Every time you meet that person, every time you meet your ex-spouse, your ex-boss, or somebody who has mistreated you badly, and you look them in the eye, and all that hurt comes rolling back in, and it evokes an emotional response in you, means you ain't really forgiven. You ain't got there yet. And what you need to do is you need to start praying for that person. It says right here in Matthew 5:43, you've heard it said you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now that's what the Muslims do. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. That's right. When you start, can really get out on your knees and labor in prayer for the person that's really hurt you, and ask God to bless them. To bless them. God will give you peace and He will heal you. What He does with them is His business. It's His business. I'm going to tell you, if you see them come under tribulation, don't you start shouting and saying, yeah, yeah, I told you so. Because I don't think anything, it makes God mad. He destroyed the nation of Moab because they did that. They did that when Jerusalem fell. They said, yeah, 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 in Jerusalem. And they lined up and wouldn't let the Jews get away and turned them back to the Romans. Went over and helped the Romans. The nation of Edom. Edom did that. And the curse on Edom is one of the worst curses listed in the Bible. And there is nothing there now but sand pits and tar bowls and wowing wilderness to this day. You read the curse in Jeremiah. Nothing there. And why? Because they said, yeah, 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 you got what you had coming. They rejoiced when tribulation fell on Jerusalem. Don't rejoice when tribulation falls on you. Pray for them. Say, oh God, don't do that to them. Bless them, Lord. You do that, you'll get healed, people. And when you see them, you won't have that emotional response in you. It won't rise up, and you also won't burn anymore. And you won't get that bitter taste in your mouth. And you won't get that blinding headache. Because you've been set free, and them demons are gone. You've been set free. And that's the name of the game, be set free. To serve God, because you can serve Him. You can be a son and a daughter of the Most High God then. You can't be a son and a daughter, serve as a son and a daughter when you are hating your enemy. How do you know God's abides in you? When you love your enemy. That's what it says in 1 John. By this you will know that the Father abides in you and you abide in Him, that you love your enemy. And you can't do that without God. And you have to pray. Pray for them and let God's love flow through you. And you will get free. Well, praise God, praise God, praise God. I can talk for another 2 hours now. But I think I better say that you know that sexual sin, there are two sins, there are three sins really, that will hold you in terrible bondage. One is sexual sin. God considers sex outside of marriage an act of worship of the devil. I can show you that in Scripture, but that's the subject of another talk. But just He considers fornication, sex outside of marriage. That includes lusting after your neighbor's wife,
lusting after the woman, the woman who's scantily clad that goes by, and you're saying, oh, look at that. Hey, how about that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. See that? Ooh, yeah. Well, I hadn't done anything. No. That is an act of worship to Satan, to God. Spiritual adultery. And it bears all the consequences in the spiritual realm of spiritual adultery. Keep your sex sack clean. That's the reason Paul said everybody ought to have their own wife and the wife ought to have a husband. Unless God's called you to live alone. God's given you the gift of celibacy like he did Paul, that you can live alone. Fine. But don't be looking at the Playboys, watching the beer ads on television, watching HBO and all the other channels. I don't even have a television set in my house. I don't have one in my house. Sometimes when I'm at the hospital in the doctor's lounge, I'll watch the... I'll see if I can find a John Wayne movie. It's getting harder and harder to find them now. Oh, watch Marshall Dillon, Gunsmoke. You know, those are good, clean movies. And they all had good, godly principles. One or two of them I got sort of upset. Most of what you see now is written by a bunch of, quote, gay, unquote. 80% of the writers in television Hollywood today are gays. And why? You know, because they go into a field where they can be someone else. They don't like who they are. They don't like who they are, and they want to. And you go into the performing arts. I went into the performing arts because I didn't like who I was. I used to be an actor, and you become who you become. The character that you portray, you can be another character for a while. Be somebody else. Pick out somebody you like and be that person. That's the reason so many of the people in Hollywood used to have 8 or 10 wives. Now they don't bother getting married anymore. You know, at least Elizabeth Taylor, she married all hers. She had 9 or 10 husbands, but at least she married them. Nowadays, they don't bother getting married anymore. Sex. I tell you this, gentlemen and ladies, oral genital sex is a sin before God and brings a curse on your family. You involved in oral genital sex with your wife or your husband, I'm going to tell you that it brings a curse on your family. It brings a curse on you. You are created in the image of God. And God does not expect you to act like a dog. A dog cleans the sexual part with his tongue. That's the way he cleans it. He doesn't know how to use soap and water. And so he uses his tongue. A cow, cattle, clean the sexual parts with their tongue. A rat cleans the sexual parts with his tongue. Human beings use soap and water. That's what God gave you soap and water for. Don't act like a dog or cat or rat. God forgive me. I hope I have not offended anyone.
Tell it like it is.
Amen. It's the truth.
Now, I have had preachers tell me that that the verse in Hebrews says that the marriage bed will remain undefiled. That means anything goes in the marriage bed. I said, really? The next verse says adulterers and fornicators God will punish. It means that you're supposed to not defile your marriage bed by bringing some other partner into it. I don't know where you get that. I have folks send me altar. I get letters maybe once a month from somebody and sends me somebody's interpretation of the Song of Solomon. And I read it and I said, boy, you let me interpret the Bible like that and I make it mean anything. I don't have a problem with plain reading, plain English. But some of the... And there are types and shadows in the Bible. But you let Scripture interpret Scripture, and they don't give you Scripture. They give you their interpretation. Okay.
And the last one is involvement in the occult.
And
I'll put another tape on.
In the occult. I tell you, the occult. The occult will bring in demons. Anytime you worship, anytime you go to some other source for supernatural knowledge.
You know, I was walked in the hospital a couple months ago, a year ago, or 2 years ago. Time runs together on me so bad. This had to be at least 8 years ago because that hospital's no longer open.
And I said, where is everybody? The emergency room, they said, and they named this lady, is doing her witchcraft. I said, what are you talking about doing her witchcraft? So whenever we get a pregnant lady in here, she takes out a gym clip, and she straightens it out, and she hangs it over them. And if the sharp end points to her head, it's a girl. If it points to her feet, it's a boy. Works every time, Dr. Lund. I said, yeah, it's called divination. Said, you go in there and watch it, you curse yourself, your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. I said, but it's a curse from God for four generations. Oh? I said, yeah. It's called divination. They didn't have ultrasound then. So now they do it with ultrasound. I said, and she said, this lady got right upset with me for saying that, and she told me so the next time she saw me. And I saw her about 5 years later, and she didn't have no hair, and she looked like warmed over death. I said, what happened to you? She said, I got cancer. And I'm undergoing chemotherapy. And they say it's spreading. I'm on my fourth course. It ain't doing no good. And you know what? She gone. The price of divination. It said God took the kingdom away from Saul because he went to a witch and killed him. It says that in Chronicles. You can look it up. It's in there. It says God took the kingdom away from David today and took the kingdom away and killed him. Now, he committed suicide. That's tough words, but they're in the Bible. They're there if you want to read them. So, stay away from the occult, people. Get the tape. If you did not listen to Mitzi today, get the tape. Because she covered the occult. That's how the occult is coming into medicine. The occult, going to the fortune teller, going to the card layer. Well, I just start reading the horoscope. Well, I don't believe it. I just read it for fun, you know. It don't mean anything to me. So how would you feel, honey, if your husband came home to you and said, well, honey, you know, I never been to the whole house before, but I was just driving by and I saw it up there and I just wanted to go up and see. Well, I didn't mean anything to me. I just went in there and I just, you know, it doesn't mean anything to me. You don't mind, do you? You think you ladies think you'd mind that? Huh? Well, I think that man have all his hair snatched out. At least. That's how God feels about it. When you go out to the horoscope, you just going up to the whole house. Yes. That's where he feels it. It is spiritual adultery.
Yes.
Or anything else occult. ESP. Fortune telling. Waldo witching. Carrying a St. Christopher's medal. You know how you scare this medal, you know, had this man or figure on it, you know, I carried on my keychain. Big silver thing, supposed to protect me when I drive my car. I had a little picture of a man there set up over there. Yeah, supposed to protect me when I drive my car, you know. That ain't nothing but sorcery. Be a cult. Lighting candles to dead people. Praying to dead folks. Okay, let's stop now. Let's stop. I mean, you know, all those things. We've been talking now for an hour and a half. I think we need to stand up a little bit. You know, it's said that the mind can only absorb what the fanny can endure. And all your blood, you see, settles down in the lower part. I want y'all to stand up and jump up and down a little bit and praise God now. Hallelujah. And get your blood moving again because we want to come against the enemy and I don't want you going to sleep. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's praise him a little bit. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord God. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. We praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord. We give thanks to you, Lord God. Say, dear Lord, I believe that
Jesus Christ of Nazareth
is the Son of God.
He was manifested in the flesh.
He died on the cross for my sin.
Was raised from the dead
for my justification.
Ascended into heaven.
Sits on the right hand of God the Father.
Ever to make intercession for me.
God is my Father.
Jesus Christ is my big brother.
I have been accepted in the Beloved.
I am a child of the living God.
I have been adopted.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I am not in bondage to fear.
But I have the spirit of adoption in my heart.
Whereby I cry, Abba, Father.
Daddy.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
I believe you.
Lord Jesus, I want to be free today, Lord.
I confess the sins of my fathers
and my sin, Lord God.
I confess all my rebellion against my parents,
all the bad things I've said.
I count them as sin.
I ask forgiveness
on the blood of Jesus.
Lord Jesus, set me free.
Lord, I break the curse
of incest on my family
back 10 generations.
I break the curse of idolatry,
the curse of illegitimacy
back 10 generations.
I break the curse of whoredom.
I break the vagabond curse,
the curse of returning evil for good,
the curse of the occult.
I break all these curses, Lord.
And I ask to be set free.
In the name of Jesus.
I break the curse of stupor.
Of perverseness.
Off my family line.
And off of me.
I bind those spirits.
And I command them to leave me now.
For it is written.
In Joel 2:32.
Anyone.
Called upon the name of the Lord
shall be delivered.
Lord Jesus,
I say,
according to your word,
I am not a rejected child.
I have been accepted in the Beloved.
I've been adopted.
God has given me a new family.
He has translated me
out of this world
into the kingdom
of the Son of His love.
I am an ambassador of the Most High God.
I am in this world,
but not of this world.
I have a right
to call upon
the armed forces
of my kingdom,
the kingdom of God,
to defend me
from all my enemies.
Lord Jesus,
send the warring angels.
Send the angels to gather up
all the loose spirits around here
and the delivering spirits
to set me free.
In the name of Jesus,
I thank you, Lord.
You said, Lord,
that you would send your angel
before me
to drive out
the Canaanites,
the Hittites,
the Hivites,
and the Amorites,
and all the Hivites.
That you would send the hornets
to drive out
all those who were hiding
and destroy them.
Lord Jesus,
do according to your word, Lord.
I thank you for it, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Everybody sit down.
I'm going to call out some spirits.
Now, it's not a cafeteria. You listen to what I have to say and you agree with me. And if it's in there, it'll come out.
If it's not in there, it won't. Don't pick and choose. Just tell them to come out.
I bind now. I bind the spirits of rejection. Your nativity, unsaved nativity, was from Cana, which means rejected or despised. I come against the spirit of rejection and being despised and counting little of no account. I bind it. Your mother was a Hittite and your father was an Amorite. I come against the spirits of terror and pride in the name of Jesus. Terror and pride. I come against fear now. Fear of not being loved. Fear of not being wanted. Fear of not being good enough. Fear of not knowing God. Fear of missing God. Fear of being hungry and cold. Come out in the name of Jesus. I bind you and I break your power. Fear of not being loved and accepted. Come out of them in the name of Jesus. Come on out. All the fear of rejection. Come out. Fear all around. Fear mobo bobo. In the name of Jesus, I bind you and I break your power. Fear and terror. You come out of God's people in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against the spirits of lust, the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And I bind and I break sexual lust and sexual fantasy off of these people in Jesus' name. All vain imaginations come out. All spirits of vain imaginations of inferiority and insecurity, I bind you and I break your power and you cannot stay in God's people. These are people of the living God. These are children of God. I bind you and I break your power. Now come against pride now. Come against Leviathan in the name of Jesus. I come against you, Leviathan. You foul spirit, you uncoil off of these people in the name of Jesus. I come against Leviathan. I come against rebellion and pride and stubbornness and bitterness and witchcraft and divination. Come out in the name of Jesus. I come against Leviathan now. Uncoil in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirit of the python, divination. Uncoil off their minds in the name of Jesus Christ. Uncoil in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirits of deception and the scorner in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirits of bitterness. Bitter spirits. Come out. The root of bitterness now. Pull out the root of bitterness in the name of Jesus. I break all the curses ever spoken over these people in the name of Jesus Christ. Every curse that's ever been spoken, every self-inflicted curse, every covenant curse in the name of Jesus, I break them in the name of all ungodly covenants. I break them in the name of Jesus that ever been made by them or by their ancestors in the name of Jesus. These are children of the living God. The blood of Jesus Christ has annulled the ungodly covenants in the name of Jesus. And they are coveted children of the love of the living God. They are waiting on the return of the bridegroom in the name of Jesus. They are betrothed children of God. And I bind these things and I command them to go in Jesus' name. Just leave. I come against the spirits of accusation now and self-accusations and being judgmental. I come against the spirits of being possessive now and controlling. I come against those possessive, controlling spirits that have come in from being possessed and controlled by their parents. It came in the name of Jesus. Come in, that spirit of coming in the name of Jesus, that controlling spirit that came in through the parent or through the husband who controlled them in the name of Jesus. I break the power of that evil witchcraft soul tie in the name of Jesus Christ. And I cut them loose. For no weapon formed against them shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against them in condemnation will refute and refuse. And this, when we break these soul ties, these bonds that have held them in bondage these 18 years in the name of Jesus, we cut the strings now, the puppet strings that are holding them in bondage in the name of Jesus. All the evil soul ties from the past, we break them in the name of Jesus, and we call back their soul. We call back, we release any foreign soul in them in the name of Jesus. And we call back the soul that's been stolen by witchcraft, by whoredom, by alcohol, by bondage in the name of Jesus. We come against the spirits of bondage. Bondage to fear in the name of Jesus. Bondage to alcohol. All sorcery spirits. Come on out. Sorcery spirits. All sorcery spirits to alcohol, to nicotine, to prescription drugs in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come down in hiding in the name of Jesus. Came down through the family lines. I bind these things. Be gone. All you spirits of bondage. Hold them in bondage in the name of Jesus. Go. I come against all the spirits of stubbornness. Stubborn. Unteachable spirits. I come against the spirit of being stubborn and unteachable now. I break your power, the power of the scorner in the name of Jesus. I break the power of Leviathan. Leviathan, I say to you, uncoil now. Uncoil off their backbones in the name of Jesus. I speak to Leviathan. I speak to the Kondilima spirit that came through from yoga and came through from Lamas and came through from relaxation and meditation in the name of Jesus Christ. I break its power that came down through the family line. I break the power of hypnosis in the name of Jesus. And I bind these spirits in the name of Jesus. They come out now. Uncoil off their backbones, you serpentine devils. I loose the hornets from heaven to drive you out. The stinging plague to come after you in the name of Jesus that would hide and deny lawful command. I bind you and I break your power and I command you to go. Now I speak to the spirit of Celebi. Celebi, come out in the name of Christ. Ishka, Celebi, I break the power of abortion in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against the god of Moloch in the name of Jesus. Moloch and Shamush, and I break the power of abortion and the curse of abortion. Come out, Moloch and Shamush, in the name of Jesus. Anybody who's ever participated in an abortion, ever agreed to an abortion, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power in Jesus' name. I speak to Celebi, and I speak to Ishka in the name of Jesus, of child sacrifice. Come out, Ishka, in the name of Jesus. Now bring out, now come against the blood of Ishra in the name of Jesus, and Astra and Diana. Come on out. Come out. All of you, I bind you. Jezebel, I speak to you now. I speak to you, Jezebel. Where's your kingdom? Jezebel, I know you're there, Jezebel. I bind you, and you leave now. I speak to you, Jezebel, you hiding devil. I loose the hornets to sting you and to drive you out and utterly destroy you because you do not obey a lawful command. I break your coveted rights to be there. I break all the ungodly covenants that gives you a right to be there by the blood of Jesus Christ. I break your power and I command you to come out quietly in Jesus' name. Come on out. Come on out, all the witchcraft spirits. Come on out. I pull loose all the witchcraft spirits, all the witchcraft soul ties in the name of Jesus. I pull them loose now in the name of Jesus. And I break them in Jesus' name. And I call back your souls. Now, Lord, I ask you to send out the war angels. Send out your war angels, Lord God, and break all the containers containing part of their soul that's been stolen. The ministering spirits to minister it up and bring it back now, Lord God. Lord, you said you would restore our souls. Lead us beside green pastures and still waters and restore our soul. I speak restoration now to the heart, Lord, that's been stolen away from these people. In the name of Jesus, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, let flow into them now, Lord. Just let it flow, Lord. Just flow into them, Lord. All the soul, Lord God. I speak to the wounded spirits now. I speak to the wounded hearts and the wounded spirits. And I say, be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed. I speak now. Jesus says, by my stripes you have been healed. That I have borne all your grief and all your sorrow. That's all your sickness and all your pain. I've been wounded for your transgressions. I was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your shalom was placed upon me. And by my stripes you have been healed. Speak healing now, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all the deaf and dumb spirits now. All the spirits of ADD. All the spirits of dyslexia. All the spirits of deafness. All the spirits of blindness. It said, seeing they shall not see, and hearing they shall not perceive. I bind this spirit of stupor. In the name of Jesus, this religious spirit of stupor that would bind so people cannot hear the Word of God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.